From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. Democratic leaders at the State House unveiled an ambitious package of bills today that they say will lower costs for health care, child care, energy, and everyday needs in Maine. But as Kevin Miller reports, Republicans are blaming their Democratic counterparts for rising costs.
Republicans and Democrats held competing press conferences to outline some of their priorities for the 2026 legislative session. Republicans focused largely on their demands for accountability and answers about suspected fraud by a Maine care provider. Democrats, meanwhile, released a list of roughly 20 bills that they say will lower costs for many Mainers. One proposal would allow eligible low- and moderate-income homebuyers to receive a $15,000 grant to help lower mortgage rates. Another bill would offer tax credits to employers who offer child care to workers, and another measure would exempt diapers from the state sales tax. Democratic House Speaker Ryan Fecteau also has bills in to mitigate the loss of federal funding to Medicaid and to nutrition assistance.
These proposals will protect families and seniors from federal health care cuts, help build the housing we desperately need in every part of our state, bring down grocery costs, make sure Maine kids get high-quality early childhood education, and give working families some relief in the face of ever-rising energy costs.
But the Republican leader in the Senate, Trey Stewart, accused the Democrats who control both chambers of the State House and the governor's office of passing policies that increased electricity bills and other everyday costs and made it harder for businesses to stay open. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Governor Janet Mills has vetoed a bill to change the automotive right to repair law passed by voters in 2023. The bill was largely based on a unanimous set of recommendations from a working group that was created to help implement the law. More than 80% of voters supported the ballot initiative, which aimed to ensure that vehicle owners and independent repair shops had access to information and software needed to repair modern cars. But in her veto letter, Mills wrote that one provision added by lawmakers at the urging of automobile manufacturers could have restricted independent shops from doing even routine maintenance. Instead, Mills urged lawmakers to pass an alternative bill that did not include the controversial provision. It takes two-thirds votes in the House and Senate to override a veto. Maine U.S. Senate hopeful Graham Platner drew yet another packed crowd to a town hall last night in South Portland. But this one had a different focus than usual: tax the rich to fund health care. Attendee Spencer Lukens of Cumberland says as a mechanic, he's fortunate to have health insurance through his wife's employer. But he describes the current U.S. healthcare system as barbaric.
I don't have another word for it. I think it's cruel and inhumane to not give people healthcare. We're the richest nation or country in the history of the world. So the idea that we don't have universal healthcare is just illogical. I mean, it's a system of greed.
Platner used the event to promote universal health care as well as several bills before the Maine legislature this session that would increase taxes on higher incomes. Former state lawmaker Garrett Mason is making a second attempt to become Maine's next governor. As Steve Missler reports, Mason will become the 12th Republican candidate in the race and one with connections to the state's evangelical electorate.
Mason was 25 years old when first elected to the Maine legislature during the 2010 Republican wave election, unseating a longtime Democratic incumbent. He went on to become the Senate Majority Leader and won strong support from Maine's evangelical conservatives, voters he hoped would deliver him the Republican gubernatorial nomination in 2018. Mason finished a distant second to eventual Republican nominee Sean Moody, but he's remained active in the state's political scene, both as a statehouse lobbyist and a political commentator. Mason announced his bid on his podcast, touting his legislative and lobbying experience and taking aim at GOP rivals that he says are attempting to impersonate President Donald Trump.
We've seen a lot about that on the campaign trail. It's ineffective, it's unserious, and quite frankly, it looks ridiculous.
Mason also said that while most of the Republican candidates agree on the issues, he's the only one with the experience to implement them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Federal Office of Child Care provided more details on what information they expect Maine providers to share as a condition for receiving funding. Grant recipients are expected to provide descriptions of how funds are being used and confirmation that they're verifying child enrollment and preventing identity fraud. Heather Martin at the Maine Association for the Education of Young Children says this information will be entered by the state and hopefully will not delay payments to child care centers.
It's implementing something that has already been in place in the past, which is that the state put in some information just verifying how they're spending the money.
The new guidance comes after the Trump administration pledged to withhold billions nationwide amid child care fraud allegations in Minnesota. Roughly $35 million is expected to come to Maine. Life Flight of Maine says its pilots have encountered drones when approaching and departing Maine's major hospitals in Bangor, Lewiston, and Portland, putting pilots, patients, and crew at risk. Mike Bonifant is a helicopter pilot and aviation safety coordinator for Life Flight. He says those encounters are not only dangerous, but also a violation of FAA regulations prohibiting drone activity within 5 nautical miles of an airport.
You're traveling 165 miles an hour, and our windscreens are not that thick, and they can come right through their windscreen or right into the rotor system or tail rotor system and damage those components, and it could be catastrophic.
Bonifant says it's up to the drone operator to be aware of aircraft within their area of operation and keep their drone far away. Drone encounters are reported to local law enforcement and to the FAA. Small businesses and nonprofit groups in Maine that were negatively affected by abnormally rainy and cold conditions last May can now apply for federal disaster loans. The U.S. Small Business Administration announced today loans of up to $2 million with interest rates as low as 4%. The agency says they can be used to pay debts, payroll, and other expenses directly related to the abnormal weather conditions. Parts of Maine received double the normal amount of rainfall in May, and a rare late spring nor'easter hit the state just before Memorial Day. More information can be found on the Small Business Administration website. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Bucket Lists. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.